Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, we'll learn how to reduce the stress of taking your cat to the vet. Best Friends Animal Society tells us how pets with disabilities get adopted. And we'll hear about 9 common issues that cats have with their humans and how you can fix them. From Pet Tales Spring 2018 edition, Low Stress Feline Visits by Marissa Quinlan, DVM. She says, why is it so hard to bring a cat to the vet? Have you ever noticed how much more challenging it can be for a cat to go to the veterinarian than for some dogs? When most dogs go to the vet, it starts out by putting on a leash, going outside, and getting in the car. These are all activities that tend to be fairly normal for a dog. It is far less common for a cat to be scooped up from their perching spot, placed into a small carrier, and shuttled into a fast-moving vehicle. For most cats, this series of events typically leads to one result, a visit to their primary care veterinarian. For cats and dogs alike, the veterinary hospital can be a frightening place where they have to interact with strangers, get injections, get handled, have blood drawn, and any number of new and unfamiliar experiences. For some cats and their families, this can be such a stressful event that they begin to dread or even avoid their appointments, and our cats miss out on the vital care that they need to stay healthy. Starting when they're young, cats begin to form an understanding of their environment at a very young age, and their experiences as kittens can shape how they react to situations throughout their lives. Creating positive experiences at the vet hospital for your kitten will help teach him or her to feel more comfortable during visits in the future. You may want to ask your veterinary staff if you could spend a few minutes before or after your appointment allowing your kitten to explore, play, and eat treats in the exam room. Your veterinarian may even have suggestions for things to practice, such as holding them a certain way or standing still to be examined. Your goal is for your kitten to learn to love going to the vet so it remains a positive experience for everyone. Counter conditioning and desensitization. For many cats, there was never an opportunity to learn to love the veterinary clinic as a kitten, and they are already nervous or fearful of some or all of the components of a veterinary visit. The best way to change how our cats feel about these things is with a technique called counter conditioning and desensitization. Counter conditioning is a process in which the goal is to change the underlying emotional response to a previously frightening stimulus. For example, if your cat is afraid of going in the carrier, you can feed your cat near the carrier until he or she learns to associate the carrier with the pleasant experience of food. Desensitization is the process of gradually increasing the intensity of the previously frightening stimulus. For example, in the previous scenario, when your cat becomes comfortable eating 20 feet away from the carrier, you can gradually move the carrier closer each time you feed your cat. The most important thing to remember with this process is to take it slow and to go at your cat's pace. If your cat seems to be nervous or uncomfortable at all, take a break and try again with an easier task the next day. Start out right at home. The best way to start a veterinary visit in a positive way is to help your cat feel safe and calm before and on the way to the clinic. Getting into a crate and riding in a car can be very stressful for a lot of cats, so it is best to decrease this stress well before the day of your appointment. You can start by keeping your cat carrier out in the open so that your cat becomes accustomed to its presence. Counter conditioning and desensitization, as described above, can help your cat learn to enjoy eating, playing, and napping around and eventually in the carrier. You can also practice bringing your cat into the car for short periods of time without even turning it on. Bring a favorite treat, toy, or brush so that your cat begins to associate being in the car with a fun bonding time. Next, you can increase the difficulty by turning the car on, backing up a few feet, pulling out of the driveway, and driving around the block. Each of these separate steps should be added at your cat's pace, and you should go back to an earlier step if your cat becomes fearful at any time. Your goal should be to be able to load your cat into the carrier, get into the car, and drive to the veterinary hospital without your cat ever showing any signs of fear, anxiety, or stress. During the veterinary appointment, once you arrive at your appointment, it is important to have a plan established with the veterinary team as to how to make the visit go as smoothly as possible. It is important to communicate with your veterinarian to decide what works best for you, your cat, and the veterinary team. Everyone can work together to minimize the stress that your cat may feel in this new and different environment. Medications and behavior supplements. Many cats that feel fearful or stressed during a veterinary visit benefit greatly from supplements and medications that can help them to be calm and relaxed. There are a wide variety of supplements available for your cats that range from calming treats to pheromone sprays. Although many of these products are available commercially, your veterinarian is the best person to direct you to the most beneficial options for you and your cat. Medications can be given to some cats on a regular basis, while others benefit from treatment only before a stressful event. If your cat shows any signs of fear, anxiety, or stress associated with vet visits, you should ask your veterinarian about medications that could be given prior to an appointment in order to help your cat feel comfortable throughout this process. Conclusion. It is very common for cats to feel nervous or fearful about going to the veterinary hospital, but there are many ways to help your cat adjust and even learn to enjoy this experience. The ability for your cat to receive proper veterinary care is vital for him or her to live a long and healthy life. By working with your veterinary team, you and your cat can start to feel more relaxed and comfortable with trips to your primary care veterinarian. From Best Friends Animal Society, Pets with Disabilities, Helping Special Needs Animals Get Adopted, by Faith Maloney, Best Friends co-founder. Once the first to be labeled unadoptable, homeless pets with special needs are rising to the top of the A-list at shelters. In a recent call to Best Friends asking for advice, a woman in Florida explained to me that she had just rescued a large group of cats after their person passed away. They were mostly healthy and adoptable, but one was short a leg, and she despaired of ever finding a home for a kitty with a disability. "Don't worry," I told her enthusiastically, "that one will be the first one to find a new home." She wasn't quite prepared for that response and immediately launched. "You don't know what you're talking about," she shouted before slamming down the phone on me. Special needs animals do find homes. I felt bad I hadn't communicated with her very well, but I knew she was wrong. I don't know how many animals she has rescued recently, but she must be completely unaware of the current trend in pet adoptions, the animal rescue poster child. It wasn't long ago that any animal coming into a shelter with a defect, be it three legs or one eye, was considered unadoptable and automatically destroyed. After all, it was hard enough finding homes for the close-to-perfect animals that made their way through the doors, so most shelter staff didn't consider it worth the effort to promote animals with special needs. But just as there are trends for certain breeds of pets, everyone wanted a Chihuahua after the Taco Bell commercial and Dalmatians after the Disney flick was released. The trend now in adoptions is toward animals that come with publicity attached or with readily apparent war wounds. What's changed? Certainly there are very special people who adopt terminally sick animals riddled with cancer just to make their last days happy, and there are those whose at-home ministry is to take on pets with conditions that require daily treatment. But people are also responding more and more to the publicity surrounding a special needs animal. Promoting pets with disabilities. Not too long ago, a research lab was shut down, and the local Humane Society took charge of over 100 cats. The rescue was highly publicized, and the phones began ringing off the hook. Everyone, it seemed, wanted a cat from that lab. All of them were adopted out within a week, and when they were all gone, the staff tried to interest potential adopters in other less high-profile cats that were languishing in the shelter. No one was interested. They wanted one of those famous lab cats. The same thing happened after 9/11. The 9/11 disaster. People were calling New York shelters from all over the country wanting cats or dogs from around Ground Zero, and no other pet was acceptable. Don't these people know that we have thousands of animals that also need a chance who haven't had an easy time either? A shelter director lamented. But more and more of us in the rescue community are recognizing the value of publicity for pets with special needs. A shelter director in the Midwest told me what happened after a cat had rescued her kittens from a flooded basement, and the story had been on local TV. Phone calls came thick and fast with offers to adopt Jemima, the mother, and her kittens. The director confided to me that she had piggybacked a lot of extra kittens out to new homes during that time. People only wanted Jemima's kittens, she revealed, but there were dozens of kittens coming into the shelter around that time. You can figure out what the director did next. I hope no one ever decides to do a reunion of her kittens, she said slightly sheepishly. They would wonder how one little tabby mother could have given birth to so many. We're all impressed by celebrity, and especially by celebrities that have conquered their own disabilities. So rescue groups are catching on and presenting their special needs animals as local celebrities. A Pet of the Week column in a local paper or a once-a-week TV adoption segment can be very helpful, especially for pets with a sad story. All the better to light the fire in compassionate hearts. Sometimes a disability can come across as a distinguishing feature. When a lot of animals at your local shelter look alike, any kind of difference, like three legs or only one eye, stands out from the crowd. This understanding was lost on the woman who called me from Florida and then hung up on me. But it's not lost on those in the know. A woman from a large humane organization in Texas once told me that if all the animals in her shelter had only three legs, they would be flying out the door. Human nature is a strange thing, but we're all human, and there's no doubt that publicity humanizes the individual animal, and loving people leap in to respond. So, as the number of young, healthy animals that are available for adoption drops due to successful spay-neuter programs and a better informed public, the balance will shift at shelters from healthy, adoptable dogs and cats to those who are older, injured, sick, or disabled, tossed out by those who don't want to be bothered. The allure of three-legged animals. Shelters and rescue groups everywhere need to know that these little guys, once considered second class, can bring an additional bonus to the love and happiness in their new home than their supposedly more adoptable brothers and sisters. And the moral of the story is never underestimate the power of a three-legged cat. From the animal rescue site, finicky felines. Here are 9 things people do that cats hate and what you can do about it. One of the reasons why people love cats so much is their aloof demeanor and strong personalities. Cats know what they like, and they often aren't shy about letting you know it. However, many owners still make the occasional mistake, and sometimes it can lead to a bigger problem. Here are 9 common issues that cats have with their humans and tips on how you can fix them. They're starting in reverse order with number 9. People invade personal space bubble. Although cats can be pretty social, even the friendliest felines need to take a break sometimes. Cats tend to prefer this by holing up in a safe place, and it's important to respect that. Don't disturb your cat if she's curled up in a small area or seems uninterested in socializing. If guests or young children are around, make sure they stay out of your cat's personal space bubble as well. Number 8, they don't show love. At the same time, cats do need plenty of affection and interaction. It can be easy to fall into the trap of thinking of them as low-maintenance pets and ignoring them when things get busy, but make sure to carve out a bit of time for playing and cuddling every day. Not only will it keep your cat happy, but it will strengthen your bond. 7, they give no help with grooming. Cats take care of most of their own grooming needs, but they can't handle everything. Long-haired cats need tangles brushed and to prevent mats from forming, and all cats need regular dental cleanings. Older or overweight cats can also struggle to groom themselves effectively due to arthritis or mobility issues, so keep an eye out for those changing needs. 6, they lack proper litter box conditions. Litter box problems are one of the biggest issues people have with their cats, and often it's due to not providing a suitable spot for them to use. Most cats like their privacy, so try to find an out-of-the-way place. Make sure you have enough boxes, too, especially if you have multiple cats. You should have one for each cat, plus at least one extra, and be sure to scoop boxes daily, as cats have much keener noses than humans do, and they don't like using a smelly box. 5, they play dress up. When you scroll through all those cute social media posts featuring cats in various costumes, it can be tempting to try it out with your kitty. But it's a rare cat that enjoys dressing up. Most feel restrained, uncomfortable, and possibly frightened by the clothing. Besides, costumes just get in the way of your cat's natural beauty. Leave the dress up to the humans in the house. 4, they eliminate the claw. Scratching is natural and healthy, but it can be frustrating for owners. Some resort to declawing their cats, but this is an extreme procedure that involves amputating the cat's paw at the first joint. It can lead to arthritis, litter box problems, biting, and more. If you're having a clawing problem, try providing plenty of appropriate outlets. You can rub scratching posts with catnip and apply claw caps to prevent damage. Your cat will probably hate the claw caps during the application process, but it's quick and easy. Eventually, he won't even notice he's wearing them. 3, overlook signs of a problem. Cats are notoriously good at hiding illness and injury, so don't worry about overreacting if you suddenly notice that your cat is hiding more, resisting affection, or developing appetite changes. Because cats like to keep their humans guessing, a sudden increase in affection can also be a sign that your cat isn't feeling well. If you have any worries, call your vet and ask. A routine yearly wellness check is also a good idea. Number 2, they create loud noises. Those big, beautiful ears aren't just for show. Cats have very sensitive hearing and find loud noises to be disturbing and unsettling. This applies to shouts or scolds directed at them, but it also includes slamming doors, noisy children, loud music, and arguments between people. For the unavoidable ones, such as a crying baby, be sure the cat has somewhere quiet to hide. And number 1 on our list of things that cats hate, people convey negative energy. The idea that cats can't be trained is pure myth, but it does take a gentle hand. Scolding or scaring your cat can hurt your relationship, so try using positive reinforcement for good behavior instead. Gentle redirection or finding ways to make an area less appealing, such as placing double-sided tape on a couch corner where a cat may be scratching, can also help cats learn the rules. Creating a cat-friendly environment not only helps keep your household relaxed and harmonious, but it can prevent more long-term health and behavioral problems with your furry friend down the road. That will help keep everyone, humans and pets, happy under one roof. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That, this time just for horses. from the ASPCA, Equine Poison Prevention. Experts at the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center have compiled the following list of spring and summer hazards for horses. Wilted red maple leaves, black walnut, like shavings and bedding, oak, especially new growth leaves in the springtime, taxus species, yew, Japanese yew, American yew, English yew, Western yew, oleander, and rose laurel, rhododendron and azalea, white snake root, rich weed, white sanicle, jimmy weed, rayless goldenrod, burrow weed, and then yellow star thistle, St. Barnaby's thistle, and Russian knapweed, and blister beetles, which can sometimes be found in alfalfa hay, especially in the Midwest and Southwest. If you suspect that your animal has ingested a poisonous substance, please call your veterinarian or the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center's 24-hour hotline at 888-426-4435. 888-426-4435. From Pet Tail Spring 2018 edition, Ask a Vet. Reader says, I think my daughter has a pet allergy, and one of my friends told me that there are hypoallergenic breeds. Would you please tell me more about that? And the veterinarian responds, thanks for the question. Keep in mind that I'm not a physician, so I can only speak to this subject from a veterinarian's point of view. That being said, your friend is correct that there are certain breeds of pets that we usually consider hypoallergenic. This mostly pertains to dogs. Most people who are allergic to dogs are allergic to the dander or dust-like secretions that their hair and skin constantly release into the environment. Dogs that shed a lot produce much more dander, and conversely, dogs that don't shed very much produce very little dander. The dog breeds that don't shed at all are all related to poodles. It's a relatively short list consisting of poodles, Portuguese water dogs, Maltese, Bichon Frise, and a few lesser-known breeds such as Coton de Tulare and Bolognese. Some mixtures of these dogs, such as Labradoodles and Golden Doodles, may also have decreased or non-existent shedding, though this trait is highly variable from one breeder to another and even among individuals from the same litter. Though terriers are generally not considered to be truly hypoallergenic dogs, some of the more wire-haired varieties hardly shed at all, making them easier to tolerate than other breeds. Breeds such as soft-coated Wheaton, Kerry Blue, Westies, and Scottish Terriers all have the reputation for very low allergenicity. Even breeds that are not on the list will be much less likely to cause a reaction in an allergic individual if they are bathed regularly and thoroughly. Bathing removes much of the accumulated dander and also the pollen, mold spores, and other environmental allergies that tend to accumulate in a dog's coat and then be released into your home or onto your hands or clothes when you interact with them. Enough about dogs. Cats are a totally different story. Almost everyone who is allergic to cats is either allergic to a certain protein they secrete from their skin or to a certain chemical in their saliva. Of course, anyone who has ever lived with a cat knows that they typically spend all day licking themselves and in doing so spread saliva all over their coat. So the net effect is the same. Because all cats contain these chemicals in their skin and in their saliva, there is no such thing as a hypoallergenic cat. Folks frequently ask me if hairless cats, known as Sphinx, are hypoallergenic, and the answer is no. They secrete the same chemicals that all cats do, even if they have little or no hair. They are, however, much more willing to be bathed and easier to bathe than the average cat. Bathing them does greatly cut down on the allergenic chemicals on their skin. Interestingly, several studies have shown that one of the most effective ways to reduce the likelihood that a male cat will trigger an allergy is to neuter him. Spaying a female cat does not have any effect on her ability to trigger allergies. I hope this helps in your decision-making process. And in the news, Detroit News files this report. Meet the police cat, chosen for the Troy Police Department's feline unit. Dateline, April 6, 2018, Troy, Michigan. The Troy Police Department has chosen its new crime-fighting cat, but we'll have to wait a couple weeks before the kitty can join the department. Last month, Troy PD put out a Twitter challenge. If we get 10,000 followers by April, we want a police cat. It reached the goal weeks before April. The Michigan Humane Society in Westland brought five kittens and one cat to the Troy Police Department today after narrowing down the choices based on behavior. The officer who the kitty will be living with chose one of the little kittens to be the department's crime-fighting partner. The kitten, along with the four others up for adoption, all weigh about 1 pound. They need to be 2 pounds before they can leave the Humane Society, which should take a couple of weeks. The officer the kitten will be living with is a cat lover who already has two adult cats at home. So, what about a name? That will be done via a contest with kids at Troy Public Schools. We are trying to get the schools and the kids to come up with the names, said Sergeant Megan Lehman of the Troy PD. We'll then narrow the kids' choices down to the best four and put it out on Twitter and have people vote. The kids that picked the winning name will reward them with a pizza party or something like that with the school resource officer. What will the cat do at the department then? The whole point of getting this police cat is to bring attention to other cats and kittens in need of being rescued at shelters like the Michigan Humane Society. The cat will also be used for community outreach purposes. Ultimately, Sergeant Lehman says she hopes the cat will be able to do a lot of community appearances and interact with people. Sergeant Lehman also says the cat will visit the Troy Police Department to hang out with other officers. We also will interact on social media posts, tweeting as the cat. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.